And keep it right here tonight when George Norrie here on Coast to Coast AM welcomes biology professor Peter Ward, who's published more than 140 scientific papers dealing with paleontological, zoological, astronomical topics. He'll discuss planetary issues including climate change, melting ice caps, dying oceans, asteroid impact, and mass extinction. And then in the second half, George welcomes electrical engineer Brooks Agnew, who will update us on his planned North Pole Inner Earth expedition, as well as his newest work on his theory that the Earth is made of two planets, one very high frequency and one low frequency, occupying the same space. That's tonight, George Norrie and Coast to Coast AM. When we come back, your questions and comments for medical investigative journalist John Rappaport as we discuss the Zika virus hoax. Stay right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. Richard Serrett coming to you from Coast Toronto Affiliate Talk Radio AM 640. John Rappaport is with us from NoMoreFakeNews.com. John, so if this is true, that this is the Zika virus is really a hoax, so they've built this hysteria up. They've created, it's the old Hegelian dialectic, they create the disease in order to offer the cure. Except they're telling us, the World Health Organization, that is, and other public officials, health officials, there's no vaccine available for maybe 10 years. So if they're not offering a vaccine as the cure, what are they offering?
Well, there's a lot of possibilities here. One of the more far-out possibilities is to develop genetically engineered mosquitoes as flying vaccinators. And that is a project that has been in the works for a long time. Japanese researchers have worked on it. I've written an article about it, posted up at No More Fake News. Some of the original funding came from the Gates Foundation for this. And there are technical problems and so on and so forth, but that is one of the research projects that figures prominently here, and it's interesting that we're talking about mosquitoes with a virus biting people and so forth. And now, coming in the wake of this, could be these genetically engineered mosquitoes that supposedly have vaccine, so that when they bite, they deliver vaccine. There are also,
that's a scary prospect. Yeah, that's a very scary prospect.
Yeah, because once there, once that genie is out of the bottle, then there's no recalling it, and there's no informed consent, and you don't have to pass a bunch of laws mandating the vaccine. All you have to do is release the mosquitoes.
Now, I have read about this biotech firm in the UK, and I'm not sure if this is the one that Bill and Melinda Gates are involved with or not, that you just alluded to. But the idea is that this genetically modified mosquito, much like the Monsanto's Terminator seed, it mates with the wild mosquitoes, and then the offspring die. So there's no, they don't procreate. And when they've released these mosquitoes, they actually have them now. When they've released them in certain test areas, they've eliminated the mosquito population by 90%, which may sound great to some people who like to spend some time outdoors, but think of the ecological impact of reducing the mosquito population by 90%.
Yeah, sure. This is playing around with the fate of the human race, because this is a slightly different project you're talking about, but no human health studies have been done in the first place. It's just like the GMO crops that were released 1996 for the first time somewhere in there in the United States. And we were given the assurances, oh, these are perfectly safe. We know it's equal to any other kind of food. Monsanto says so, so it must be true. And then Monsanto says, well, the FDA says it's okay, so we have no problem. And it was just kind of a mutual handshake, and the science was zero. Well, it's the same situation with these mosquitoes. You're talking about mosquitoes that decimate a whole population of other mosquitoes, and what's going to fill the vacuum, for example? And there's some evidence that a more dangerous, quicker breeding mosquito is coming into the vacuum. That is also a carrier of disease. So what's the result of that? It's just absolutely mind-boggling to think that, oh yeah, we're just going to do this and it's not going to be a problem and everything is going to be okay. But the sort of thing that I'm talking about, for example, I'm just quoting here from a Science Mag 2010 piece, Japanese researchers developed a mosquito that spreads vaccine instead of disease.
And you know, if they're talking about it, they already have it.
Yeah, they're talking about it, they have it. They're also talking about developing parasites to do the same thing. Promising viable option for developing a malaria vaccine, next generation of parasite strains, etc., etc. You know, I mean, this is science gone mad. Absolutely mad. Of course, with all the assurances that there's no possible problem, et cetera, et cetera. And here's another point about the next generation of vaccines. The next frontier for vaccines is genetic elements entered into the human body that supposedly give you immunity against various diseases. But these gene elements become permanently incorporated into your DNA. This is not a one-time shot, oh, we produce immunity, blah, 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 whatever. No, this is actually changing your genetic makeup on a permanent basis under the idea that, oh, we can develop a vaccine that'll give you immunity. We don't have to worry about all the manufacturing of trying to put certain germs in the vaccine and this and that. Now it's much easier now. And this technology is on the way. That's the next thing. And you could see in the case of Zika, for example, a research group is suddenly going to say, well, you know, if we develop a Zika vaccine in the traditional way, it could take 10 years, but we've got a much faster fix because now we know what the genetic makeup of Zika is, and we can just take a few of these genes from the virus and insert them into the human body through a injection, and your DNA will be changed forever. Oh, really? And I'm going to go for this, and people are going to accept this, and they're going to think that everything is okay? I mean, we are on the verge of the kind of a nightmare of science lunatics, medical research lunatics, who feel that any tinkering with the human race is quite okay, as long as they can get the grant money, as long as they can manufacture, as long as they can make profit, as long as they can pretend that it's absolutely safe. That's where
if vaccines are being administered through mosquito bites, where's the informed consent?
Yeah, it's not anywhere. And then, of course, as the mosquitoes do spread across the world, because no system is perfect, they say, well, don't worry about these mosquitoes, because once they deliver a bite, they die, or there are no offspring and so forth. But as it actually turns out, you know, you don't have 100% containment here. Things happen. Mistakes occur. Mosquitoes get out that shouldn't have gotten out. This can be done on purpose or accidentally, however you want to look at it. And then you've got these flying vaccinators delivering supposed vaccines to people all over the world. Nobody's passing any laws saying that you should have it. It's just there. People are bitten, they get a vaccine, or whatever it is they're actually getting.
Frightening scenario. Let's go east of the Rockies. Marcus is in Indiana. Good morning, Marcus. Welcome to Coast to Coast.
Welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for having me. And Mr. Rappaport, it's an intriguing topic you discussed tonight. And first of all, I want to say I've had my suspicions about the Zika virus when it was first announced. So that was always a clue for something that has been in the populace, like you said, since 1947, 48, for just now to be displaying these signs of birth defects in women, you know, cause you to pause and to think, but man, the directions that you're going with the mosquitoes and everything, just it's a lot to take in. But what I was focused on when I first heard the issue and the story break was the Olympics coming up in Brazil. And I know when it was first announced that Brazil was getting the Olympics, there was a lot of turmoil in where it was going to be built, the number of people that would be displaced from the Olympic parks being built in predominantly these low-income slum areas where they would be able to get the crime under control and all of the things to make it work during the Olympics. Now, if this might be a way for the Olympic Committee to pull out of Brazil if they've come into some problems that they can't resolve. And my first inkling with that was the Zika virus. My second inkling that this could be a pull-out attempt was the fact that now Zika is automatically sexually transmitted. So on the one hand, you've got all these women athletes coming from all these other countries who don't want to come now. We've had several U.S. soccer participants say they won't come because of the chance of getting the Zika virus. Now, you can get the women to not come, but you got to be able to get the men to not come too. And now that the men can get this virus and sexually transmit it back when they get home to their female partners, to their female wives, that is the catch-22 right there that makes me think this is some type of political ploy to get the Olympics out. And it could be another focus group to, you know, try some of these other things that they always try to pass on us. But I wanted to get Mr. Rappaport's thoughts on that.
And all right, Marcus, thank you.
Thank you.
All right, great call. Go ahead.
That is a possibility. I mean, Olympics have been canceled before, or in this case, they would be switched around. I think another scenario to look at here is that the Rio Olympics are going to be, in fact, a further opportunity for the World Health Organization to promote this hoax and hysteria about Zika, because you've got, you know, I don't know, a billion people watching the Olympics. You've got a perfect opportunity for the broadcasters who are always looking for stories to do that are outside of the actual events, you know, so-called human interest stories. So let's go now to our medical reporter team in Rio for an update on Zika. And then you'll get this, and you'll get that, and you'll get more hysteria and promotion and so forth, and how the World Health Organization is heroically trying to stop the spread of Zika, which causes nothing. And it will go on and on and on as a way, again, depopulation by press conference, to frighten women all over the world into not getting pregnant. So that, to me, is the more likely scenario of what we could see during the Olympics.
All right, first-time caller Pam is in South Carolina. Good morning, Pam. Welcome to Coast.
Holy smokes. This is my first time calling. I'm fascinated by this topic. I'm a retired nurse and a woman of, I like to think of myself as a woman of science, and I first became suspicious of not only the press and the drug companies, but governments manipulating whole populations. When anthrax, we had that anthrax scare. Look at the sales for Cipro. Everybody wanted Cipro. And now look at the over-the-counter remedies that are out there. They're naming actual biological stuff after made-up diseases like the GI products, acidophilus, this and that. It's scary. It's scary science. And I'll hang up and listen to your comments. Thank you so much for bringing this topic forward.
Pam, thank you for the call. John?
Yes, I'm glad she brought this up. This is the larger issue here. Because what we're seeing, pharmaceutical companies do marketing by deciding, okay, look, here's a potential market. If we have a condition, which we don't have yet, you know, a disease, an illness, a psychiatric disorder, whatever, then we would be able to develop a drug in short order. So this leads to basically the invention of conditions that don't really exist. And as an example, very briefly, the Bible of the psychiatric profession, which is called the DSM, Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, lists about 300 supposedly distinct and separate mental disorders. And not one of these, not one, has a physical diagnostic test. No blood test, no saliva test, no hair test, no urine test, no genetic assay, no brain scan, no defining test. And if you read through the psychiatric Bible, you will see that there is no definition of any mental disorder that is relying on a specific defining medical test. It's all done by committees. They sit around, they talk about symptoms and menus of symptoms, and they just simply begin to invent.
And well, first you have to come up with a syndrome, then you create the pill, and then you issue an IPO.
Exactly. That's the story. Oppositional defiance disorder. You know, I mean, anybody.
I think I've got that. I've got that.
You know, we're both candidates for that right away. You know, and so we could be diagnosed easily, and then, of course, comes the pill. See, and then the pill causes symptoms. And then the psychiatrist says, well, these symptoms have nothing to do with the pill. You now have an emerging new mental disorder, bipolar, and so we now have to prescribe heavier drugs and so on and so forth. This is the way it works. So the caller is quite right. We're looking at a gigantic field here of profit-making, destruction of human life, because all these drugs are toxic. We're not talking about taking vitamins here. And so the disease and disorder invention industry is basically promoting toxicity.
Right. And to be clear, just to back up a little bit, we need to make it clear. There's no hoax surrounding microcephaly. There are children being born with this neurological disorder, smaller head sizes, brain impairment. That's happening. That's real. But the causation, linking it to Zika virus, therein lies the hoax, you say.
Yes, and also we don't know in Brazil, as I said at the top of the show, it might have been a little confusing to listeners because we led with that, but there is no confirmation that there is a gigantic outbreak of microcephaly cases in Brazil beyond what has been already occurring for many years because they haven't been keeping track. So the whole idea that suddenly this thing erupted out of nowhere is rather preposterous. But yes,
all right.
The birth defect is real. It's a question of what causes it, and we went over, you know, the obvious causes here. You don't have to invoke some mysterious virus that never caused anything, and suddenly you turn around and you say, ah, this is the cause. Really?
All right. Jim is in Washington, west of the Rockies. Jim, go ahead. Quick question before the break.
I'm a first-time caller. I'd like to know how biologically similar are these viruses? For example, are they manufactured? Are they similar to hepatitis C that was recently cured? That's my question. Thank you.
Well, this virus is not particularly similar to hepatitis C or B or any of the hepatitis viruses. And when you say manufactured, now some people jump to the conclusion that perhaps the Zika virus is, actually been weaponized or something like that. But the first question you have to go back and ask is, have they established that this virus is causing anything? You know, so if you want to say, well, this is a warfare virus, it's sure a dud, because there's no evidence in the first place that it's causing anything, and that's where I always go at the very beginning. Is the virus actually causing anything?
All right, John, we'll take a timeout. Come back. More of your questions and comments. John Rappaport, no more fake news right here on Coast to Coast AM. Stay with us. Welcome back. The website, strangeplanet.ca, and you can say hello on Twitter, at Richard Serrett, S-Y, because I love you, R-E-T-T, at Richard Serrett. Hey, give the gift of Coast Insider, the only way to listen to Coast AM on your computer or your mobile device. You can subscribe yourself at the same time. All audio streams are delivered in the highest quality, crystal clear audio. Become a Coast Insider. It's real easy. Just sign up at coasttocoastam.com. When we come back, your questions and comments regarding the Zika virus with medical investigative journalist John Rappaport right here on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back to Coast AM. John Rappaport is with us from nomorefakenews.com. Before we get back to the calls, John, tell us about the Matrix series, Exit from the Matrix, Power Outside the Matrix, and The Matrix Revealed.
Well, these are three very large collections of text and audio that I've put together over the last 5 or 6 years. And they are the deepest exploration of some of the issues that we're touching on here tonight. What is mind control? How does one regain his own, her own power in the world as an individual? What is going on at the level of mind, imagination, creativity, and so forth that holds people back, and how can that be absolutely changed and transformed? So that's what these series are all about. And the medical cartel plays a very strong role in mind control on this planet, so people should be getting that clue as we're going into the Zika hoax here.
And does the information from the Matrix series, and these are CD-ROMs essentially that are available at the website, nomorefakenews.com, does a lot of this information come to you from whistleblowers from the medical cartel?
Well, yes, a couple of them are insiders that have remained anonymous over the years that I interviewed extensively, and their revelations are really very outstanding and profound, I would say. Many, many interviews with particularly a couple of these people who have revealed how the whole game really works in the widest terms, I would say, that we're touching on here tonight. Absolutely.
If this Zika virus scare is in fact a hoax, and it is, as you so aptly described, I mean, this is diabolical, but you called it depopulation by press conference. Are you at all hopeful that there will be a whistleblower from inside either the World Health Organization or perhaps public health officials in Central or South America that will come forward and say there is no connection between Zika and microcephaly?
Yes, I am hopeful. In fact, there's a group of Brazilian doctors right now. These are doctors who actually care about the people. And they have pointed to the fact that a chemical called pyroproxifen, toxic chemical that supposedly kills mosquitoes, has been dumped in water supplies in Brazil, in some of these areas where we're hearing about microcephaly cases. And they are blowing the whistle in that sense very loudly. Another group in Argentina of doctors doing the same thing. So yes, I am hopeful, and I think that the tide is turning, because more and more people are waking up to the fact that this is a hoax, and it's more difficult for the medical cartel, as I call it, to keep up this hysteria and fear on the back of no evidence. In fact, I would issue a challenge to any doctor or researcher out there. You prove to me, by the standards of how a virus is supposed to be proven to cause a disease, you show me that Zika has been proved to cause microcephaly. And keep in mind that I know the way you're supposed to prove this, medically speaking. So don't come at me with little scant bits of evidence, but you show me any convincing evidence along this line. There is none. And I am confident, in fact, if this goes on much longer, we're going to see some serious whistleblowers emerge.
This is, as far as the World Health Organization is concerned, to my way of thinking, high-stakes poker, because if they're bluffing and they're proven to be wrong on this one, they lose a lot of credibility. And then the next time they try something like this, and on it goes, then, of course, then we start talking about things like fluoride and other vaccines Wow, I mean, what should we believe them about? Anything.
It becomes a domino effect, absolutely. And their strategy, you see, is they're trying to up the ante every time they announce one of these so-called outbreaks or epidemics in terms of the, you know, the grotesque symptoms and so forth. Because swine flu didn't really make it in terms of, you know, graphic representation, but Ebola did. See, they tried that one next. Hemorrhaging, bleeding out of every orifice and so forth, that was the fear factor. Now what are they doing? Birth defect, baby born with very small head, brain damage, pictures, etc., etc. That's the only thing they've got left. And if people wake up enough so they don't, you know, they're not put off by that to the degree that they're just going to accept everything. And they say, yeah, okay, we understand that, but you're saying that this virus, which has never caused anything harmful, is suddenly the cause of that. And you can only find it in 17 of these microcephaly cases for sure in Brazil, which is evidence totally against the virus as a cause. So come on, boys, let's see the proof. Let's see the evidence. That means more and more people are waking up. And indeed, you're absolutely right. World Health Organization is playing a very high stakes game. And if they lose, then there's this domino effect that goes in. Oh, well, wait a minute. Well, what about this that you said? And what about that disease and this condition and fluoride in the water and the pesticides, which you're ignoring as doctors when you should be looking at that and so on and so forth. And, you know, the house of cards could indeed collapse.
All right, to the wild card line we go. Phil is in Texas. Good morning, Phil. Welcome to Coast AM.
Hey, John Rappaport, how are you doing?
Very good.
That's really great. You know, they banned DDT in 1972, and in 62 they proved that it did not cause birth defects. But that is the actual population control that you were speaking of, not a media population control. Malaria kills millions in Africa, kills millions all over the world. As far as Zika, I don't know if it exists or not. You know, it could be a hoax, could not. But the tiger mosquito is in North America now. It's even pushing up into Canada. That came from Asia. That is also a very cold weather mosquito, very hardy. So as far as what it can transmit up there, we have West Nile down here in Texas. Just a couple counties away from me, they found it. You're going to have an issue up there with all kinds of pathogens carried by mosquitoes. Maybe if they bring DDT back, that would solve a lot of the problem.
Okay, well, I'll give you my comments on that. First of all, I disagree that DDT has never been proved harmful. But secondly, these viruses that you're alluding to, such as West Nile and so on, you have to be very acute when they talk about these cases, because they're talking about people, quote, being infected, testing positive, and so forth. And in the vast majority of these cases, transient, mild illness, people recover, but they're being used as examples of fear and what could happen to people and so on and so forth. So I reject the idea that we're talking about a whole host of dangerous viruses that are descending on people. This is part of an agenda of fear. What's really at issue here is traditional causes of illness and disease in certain populations. For example, in America, if you've got, you know, 300 million people or 200 million people eating junk food every day, now you're talking about something really serious. Severe malnutrition, obesity, and lowered immune defenses against all germs. And when the immune system is not functioning, then any germ that comes down the pipeline can cause a life-threatening infection. And what we really have to do as a country, as a planet, is to strengthen the immune systems of people. Now you're really talking about doing something important and positive. And that is not a medical issue. That is an issue of nutrition, getting stronger, being free from toxic chemicals, et cetera, et cetera.
All right. So again, at the wild card line, Steve is in Florida. Good morning, Steve. You're on the line with John Rappaport. Go ahead.
How are you guys? First of all, I got to admire your ability to maintain a calm composure, Mr. Rappaport, because when you're exposed to this material, you do. I have a new syndrome for you. It's called awareness anxiety, and I'm suffering from it. But anyway, here's a little more talking about taking steps, you know, further and further along the line. In the Florida Keys, Monroe County, the gentleman in charge of mosquito control down there is a guy named Mike Doyle, and he is talking about starting to go door to door to inspect people for Zika virus contamination. They're also talking about his equivalent in Pasco County, Florida, which is in the north end of the state, is talking about reacting to this similar to a Category 5 hurricane, pulling out all the emergency stops. And when you look at the evidence, it's just so obvious this is not true. So this is the only place I could find to get this off my chest and tell somebody or someone would listen to me. So I want to thank you for that.
I appreciate the call, Steve. Thank you.
I'm glad you brought that up. Yeah. You see, this is a perfect example. We have to go door to door. Yeah? Really? What are you going to look for? You think there's a giant flying virus? Oh, there's a virus over there, Jim. Shoot it. But what are you looking for when you go door to door? You're looking for people who have sniffles, slight fever? What? No, going door to door is a fear campaign. And it's also, as far as local politicians go, it's a way to make a statement to say, look at what I'm doing. I'm doing good. There's all kinds of local puffed-up politicians that want to look good, and so we're protecting everybody, but they're not really doing anything. In Brazil, they've got somewhere around at least 200,000 soldiers going door-to-door about Zika. These are not just, little bureaucrats in suits. These are guys in military gear, and they're passing out toxic mosquito sprays to people who are already immune compromised, to be spraying indoors. And then you go outside and there's people spraying toxic chemicals to fumigate whole neighborhoods. So now you're really talking about toxifying populations whose immune systems are already on the edge. This is more than just fear. This is actually creating illness, serious illness.
And what are they going to do? They come door to door. Are they going to demand a swab? Now all of a sudden they've got DNA.
Sure, they can do that. They can do that. But they can't really test. We don't have the time to go into this, but I've written about it extensively. The normal tests that are done for these kinds of viruses are absolutely useless in determining whether a person is sick or is going to get sick. You can take a swab and you can go to a lab and run the usual kind of standard tests. And you're not going to find out anything useful. All you've done is, as you say, you've got a sample that you can now analyze for DNA and put in a record somewhere, a file. In other words, it's a kind of a form of surveillance, covert surveillance, yeah.
Right. It's just a pretense for collecting for DNA.
Sure.
East of the Rockies, Santiago is in Iowa. Good morning, Santiago.
Yes, good morning, gentlemen, and John Rappaport. I commend your zeal, courage, and wisdom.
Thank you very much.
I have 21 years very close association with the city of Rochester, Minnesota. What a fine place. What great people. But I also have a close affiliation and great knowledge firsthand about the Mayo Clinic medical cartel. And if you track the trusteeship of who controls that now federally, you will find Bush and Cheney prominent. Let's take the shingles epidemic that suddenly broke out in the upper Midwest, and you can watch the commercials on TV. Well, within 60 or 90 days, miraculously, the Mayo Clinic, under Bush control, trusteeship, had a vaccine. You better get one. And I think we will win, John. And I think the people will wake up. But man, it's a hard road to hoe, isn't it, brother?
Yeah, it's not easy waking people up when you're talking about mountains of propaganda, but you make a very good point. In many of these cases, it's like the diagnosis, you know, and the propaganda suddenly turns into, hey, guess what? We've got a vaccine and you've got to take it. So you had all kinds of people, for example, during the swine flu so-called epidemic, told to take a vaccine that turned out to be very toxic for a whole lot of people. And the so-called epidemic itself turned out to be a complete dud, if you look at the actual facts of the matter. So time and time again, this is what happens. And people are definitely beginning to see the connection and wake up.
All right, we've got time for one more wildcard line. Once again, Virginia's in Florida. Hello, Virginia. Good morning.
Good morning. In case anybody in the listening audience has never heard of the story of the boy who cried wolf, how the wolves were attacking his sheep, and when he kept making a joke out of it, and then when they finally did attack his sheep, nobody believed him. That's what's going to happen with the medical profession. People won't pay any attention after a while.
Yeah, in fact, I was told by a researcher in Germany the other day, we were discussing this whole Zika thing, and he basically said, the folks in Germany are not very impressed by this at all, what the World Health Organization is saying. And I said, really, why not? He said, well, you know, we've been through these before, and the same thing happens every time. You know, a lot of hysteria, lots of pronouncements, and then all of a sudden you look around and the story is gone. Oh, yeah. What happened? What happened with that? No reports. The media is silent. They're just moving on to the next story. And then 3 or 4 years later, here we go again, you know. And people, it is the boy who cried wolf. After a while, people just say, not going to pay attention anymore.
Except we have very short memories. And I think if in 2 or 3 years they raise the specter of another mosquito-borne virus, I think a lot of people will buy into the hysteria and the fear once again, unfortunately.
Yes, what they'll have to do, because as I said earlier, they're upping the ante on the visual, the graphic every time, is they're going to have to make it even more horrible. You know, they're going to have to just try to present, you know, oh, the virus causes this horrible thing. Look at this, look at this. It's the piece of mind control. You know, you show people a terrible picture of something that's really tragic, and then you say, now this is what's causing it. And a lot of people immediately accept that because they feel sympathetic, they feel fearful. And so when somebody tells them, okay, now this is what's causing that, they automatically accept it. What they have to do is to stop and say, wait a minute. I see this is terrible. But how do they know? On what basis are they saying that this little virus over here is the cause? Show me something. Where is it?
Yeah, we have to hold them to account for sure. In the meantime, John, people can go to nomorefakenews.com. They can check out your series on The Matrix, Exit from the Matrix, Power Outside the Matrix, and The Matrix Revealed. They can download those right from the website, nomorefakenews.com. John Rappaport, always a pleasure. Thank you for this.
Thank you so much, Richard. Always great to be with you.
All right, thank you. For George Norrie, George Knapp, Lisa Lyons, Stephanie Smith, Tom Danheiser, Chris Burrows, Dan Galante, Greg Bishop, Sean Latisor, Lex Lonehood, Jeff DeRay, G. Lee, and here in Toronto, Michael Stringer, Scott Guest, and Nathan Smith, I'm Richard Serrett. Thank you for your voices, your beautiful voices. So long for now.